Welcome back to the What Do They Know podcast. The guys are continuing through their divisional breakdowns and this week are giving their thoughts on the NFC and the AFC North. Check it out.
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to episode 2 of season 2 of the What Do They Know podcast. Nick and Jeff with you again, as always, back to continue our divisional breakdowns as we get ready for week 1. This week we will be checking out the NFC and AFC North.
Right.
A lot of people say that either one of these divisions could possibly be the best division in football. So we've got a lot to break down, and we'll start out as we do every week with the NFC. And we'll jump into the Chicago Bears. A lot of storylines with the Bears this year.
Right.
7-10 last year. But thanks to a somewhat lucky ordeal trade, they were still able to get the number one overall pick.
Right.
So probably the best team I think I can ever remember, at least record wise, getting the number one pick.
Right. I mean, obviously it stems all from that Bryce Young, trade that they had, with Carolina. It's definitely going to be one of those interesting seasons, see how Caleb Williams comes up during his rookie year. I mean, I was so high on Chicago last year.
Yeah.
And then this year, I think I don't know where they're going to go, because obviously you're hitting the refresh a little bit. You traded away Justin Fields. So it's going to be kind of like a mystery box that's going to unravel this year for them. I still think they're probably a year away and get Caleb Williams some reps and whatnot. Their rookie wide receiver, Adunze.
Roma Dunze. Yep.
And get some chemistry developed there for a year two. But for right now, they're an intriguing team. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it. This, I think far and away has to be, as far as talent, like what's already on this team, the best team to have a number one pick walk into, the best situation that a number one overall quarterback has. I mean, you think about the moves they made in the offseason, besides what we just discussed with, you know, Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. They traded for Keenan Allen. They signed DeAndre Swift coming over from Philadelphia. He's a great back. I really am high on him. He can run the ball, catch the ball, three down back.
Yep.
They brought over Gerald Everett, a really good pass catching tight end. So I'm really curious to see. I will say one thing that I've noticed, and a lot of people have noticed, is that they really don't have that veteran backup quarterback presence that you typically see with when you bring in a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they stack the skill positions for sure. So it's definitely going to be a question of whether they're going to have enough offensive line to protect the guy. Obviously, you're thrusting an offensive rookie quarterback on there. It's going to be a huge learning curve there, week one straight off the bat. But it's going to be have to rely on your head coach, because like you said, there's no veteran presence there that's going to tell you how to read through your progressions and whatnot. You're going to have to rely on your coaching staff 100%. So it's going to be interesting to see how he takes direction from Eberflus and their first year coordinator and Shane Waldron, who was with Seattle. He got Geno in the right path. I feel like he was definitely a lot more impressive than he was during his New York days.
Oh, 100%.
Unfortunately for you and for Jets fans everywhere, but it's definitely going to be one of those things where you're going to have to be open to criticism from your coaching staff. The thing is, I don't know if Caleb Williams, seeing all that college drama that he had coming into the draft, if he's going to be open to that. That's going to be another storyline that is going to probably persist throughout the entire year.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny you say that, because, you know, the Bears, ironically enough, were picked for Hard Knocks this year. So I've watched both episodes so far, and he doesn't come across that way. He doesn't come across the way that he's perceived, like you just mentioned, like, you know, kind of high on himself, can't really take criticism, doesn't handle feedback well.
Right.
He doesn't come across that way. Like, he comes across as a nice young kid.
Okay.
Right. And so I we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, I think it's funny you mentioned Matt Eberflus. He, you know, the big thing in the offseason was like, okay, they got rid of Justin Fields. What are they going to do with Matt Eberflus? Well, they kept him, but they didn't exactly give him a vote of confidence with like a contract extension.
Right.
I think correct me if I'm wrong, but this is, I believe, his the last year on his contract. So he's kind of coaching for his job.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But I know a lot of people, a lot of, you know, quote unquote professionals are really high on the Bears this year. I'm kind of like in wait and see mode.
Same.
Just because it's all going to depend on if Caleb Williams can come in and really put the ball in the hands of those big playmakers that we just mentioned.
Right. Absolutely. Yep. Their offense should be, a learning in progress type of sort of thing where you're going to see probably a bigger uptake in the second half of the year where they kind of take off, but you're going to have to rely on their defense, I feel, in the first half to really win them games to begin the year.
Not to mention they're in a really tough division, which we'll get into. But
right.
All right. Anything else with the Bears?
Nothing from me.
All right. So jumping into the Detroit Lions, 12-5 last year, obviously lost in the NFC Championship in rather heartbreaking fashion, mm-hmm. even for us watching it against the 49ers.
Right.
It's funny. I don't really have a lot of like bullet points or storylines for them. Like, I feel like they didn't make a ton of personnel changes. Mm-hmm. They extended Amon-Ra St. Brown, which was probably the best decision they could have made. He's a stud. But for me, it's two big things, three big things, really. Mm-hmm. Can they rebound? Like, are they going to be able to get over that mental hurdle of the way that they lost last year?
Mm-hmm.
Is Dan Campbell's coaching style going to change at all? Because if you remember,
I hope not.
The NFC, I know, I go back and forth, right? Because,
right.
you know, part of me is like, okay, man, take that as a learning lesson and maybe make some smarter decisions. But right. at the same time, that's what got him there. That's what mm-hmm. got them there is his aggressive, like, let's go for it on fourth down. And it was funny. They really did a good job in the receiver documentary with Amon-Ra St. Brown. They even brought Dan Campbell on and they interviewed him. And St. Brown, every single time, was like, that's the way he coaches.
Exactly.
He goes, we're ready for it. We want to do it. We have his back. We support it. And Campbell said the same thing. But based on what he said in the documentary, and I don't remember it, so I'm not going to try and quote it, but right. I don't think he's going to change.
Right.
I really don't. He said something to the effect of, that's how much confidence I have in our offense. I just feel like they're going to get it done every single time.
Yeah, that speaks volumes. That's a player's coach right there. Right. And there's nothing else a player wants. As soon as you start looking and leaning towards statistical, more, I guess, deftone, managing coaching skills, you might not lose the locker room, but you'll definitely won't get the same amount of trust that Dan Campbell's already worked 3 years into his coaching career to gain there in Detroit. Obviously, with the fans, maybe his coaching decisions might get you a headache here too. But so far, right now, Detroit has the skills and the players to make these questionable decisions successful most of the time. If you're a Detroit fan, you need to just look at like this is our offense. Our offense is going to carry us as far as they can take us. And so I'd rather they have the ball than my defense trying to prevent the other team from scoring at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So for me, I hope Dan Campbell continues relying on himself and trusting his gut. To me, that's going to be their key to the success, like it was last year. In terms of what their weakness was last year, I think their defense, their cornerback position, they allowed quite a bit of points, but that's kind of why they had to evolve so much offensively. But they definitely revamped that cornerback position. They brought in Carlton Davis from Tampa Bay.
Yep.
They drafted two cornerbacks with his first two picks. Yep. So that's definitely going to be a room that's definitely improved. And honestly, it's looking like a lot more of a complete roster than a lot of these other teams in NFC North.
Yeah. I mean, their offense, the only question mark I have on their offense is Jameson Williams going to be able to take that kind of next step
mm-hmm.
and be that prominent, like deep threat number two guy?
Because
you know what you have with St. Brown, you know what you have with David Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line is the best offensive line in football. And Sam Laporta is a stud tight end.
Right.
Absolute beast.
Yep.
So that's really, I mean, Jameson Williams really the only question mark I have personally for that team. I think they're going to win the division. I know everybody says it's going to be a really tough division. I don't think it'll be that tough for them.
It'll be a two horse race, I feel like, between them and Green Bay. Number two wide receiver position is definitely up for grabs now that Josh Reynolds is gone.
Yep.
Took off. So it's Jameson Williams for the taking right now. So, but whether he takes advantage or not, I don't know. Obviously, he's a former first round pick, so he's got the talent. whether
he's got the speed too, man. Yep. He's so fast.
Whether he can translate that into game day, we'll see.
Yep. All right. Speaking of the aforementioned Green Bay Packers,
yeah,
9-8 last year, lost in the divisional round to the 49ers. Mm-hmm. What do you got there?
Well, it's Matt LaFleur's 6th year. Jordan Love, obviously, we'll see if he can strike lightning in the bottle for year two and
got paid.
And got paid. We'll see. I mean, like you said, what are the odds of the Green Bay getting 3 consecutive franchise quarterbacks and running with them?
It's unbelievable, man.
Yeah, we talked about it all last year. Every single week, Jordan Love just kept improving and improving and being more of that. Quarterback that you expect your franchise quarterback to be in, and he's looking worth the money that they gave him for the extension. So we'll see where that goes. The wide receiver corps, obviously, it doesn't have too many. I guess they have good names, but not necessarily great names that shine off the page. Christian Washington, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed.
Yep.
They're all familiar names. They're all familiar with the system, but they're not necessarily, I guess, the consistent producers that you would expect, like maybe in a fantasy format. It's going to be a good offense, maybe even great, but I don't think it's going to be, I guess, superb and to the point where it's going to be a top 3 offense. But it's definitely going to be a consistent, well-managed offense. Defensively, though, Xavier McKinney is going to be their biggest signing right there.
Yep.
That was their biggest, I guess, Achilles heel last year was their safety and linebacker positions. Xavier McKinney is probably one of the highest regarded safeties.
He's Pro Bowler, yeah. Yep. He's a beast.
All pro, basically. So that should shore up that back end of the defense. Green Bay, I feel like there's a lot of potential to give Detroit a run for their money for that division. whether they do or not, we'll see.
Yeah. Talking about defense, they lost, you know, I'll shout out some of the guys they lost. Darnell mm-hmm. Savage, Jonathan mm-hmm. Owens, Devondre Campbell, 3 big pieces. They also lost one of their starting guards, John Runyon, mm-hmm. Who I believe went to the Giants. But, you know, McKinney's going to be a huge addition. My question, you know, if you listen to national media, like I can think of a couple guys that on radio have said that Green Bay should be vying for a Super Bowl this year.
Mm.
And I just don't know if I'm bought into that. I think they'll be, you know, the second best team in this division. I think they'll be battling for a wild card spot. But you also have to remember that this is a team that was 6-8 right. last year before they, you know, won their final 3 games and kind of, you know, got hot at the right time.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm kind of I'm kind of tempering expectations, mm-hmm. at least for me personally. Just strictly off of that. I don't know how I feel about adding Josh Jacobs and letting Aaron Jones walk.
Right.
I kind of feel like, and I could, I kind of feel like I would have rather had Aaron Jones with his pass catching ability.
Uh-huh.
Josh Jacobs, I feel, is more of like a hit the hole kind of back. And I don't know how much of a pass catcher he really is.
Right.
So I don't know if that's a big addition.
It might be a wash.
I was just going to say, I feel like it's a wash at best.
Right.
So I know a lot of people are excited about that for Green Bay. I'm kind of like, meh, mm-hmm. I think I would have rather had Aaron Jones for less money,
right.
Personally, but uh-huh. that's just me. So I think they're going to be good. I just think that they're a little overhyped.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they media gets attracted so well to, I guess, the shiny new toy, and that's Jordan Love.
Green Bay in general, right? I feel right. like them, the Cowboys, like there are certain teams that like
they
cough
right.
and like everybody wants to break it down and like it's a top story.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Jordan Love being, I guess, being held to the prestige that he's being held to. He showed out last year in a very good way, but the problem that he has now is he has expectations now.
Well, and he's getting paid like a top performer.
Exactly. So it's, I mean, we'll see where it goes, but I just, like you said, I don't buy it completely. Will they be good? Will it be wild card good? Absolutely. Will they potentially win the division? Absolutely. They have the chance. But to me, to put them up there with the Super Bowl contenders, I'm not sure. I mean, the NFC is kind of open-ended right now. In general, so maybe they can sneak in there, but they're going to have to get hot like they did last year at the right time and remain healthy. But as of right now, I'm not going to put them up there in the upper echelon of NFL teams. Absolutely not.
Okay. Yep. I agree. All right. Last but not least, and it's been a really terrible week for this team, that is the Minnesota Vikings. So
sorry, Jake.
Sorry, buddy. 7-10 last year, obviously big things that happened in the offseason for them. They let Kirk Cousins, well, they didn't let Kirk Cousins walk. He chose to leave.
Right.
Went to Atlanta. They tried to get him. Added the aforementioned Aaron Jones after Green Bay signed Josh Jacobs. They let him walk. He went to Minnesota. Their big draft pick, number 12 overall, I believe. JJ McCarthy out of Michigan. You know, the big storyline was, you know, obviously Sam Darnold's going to be the week one starter, but when is JJ McCarthy going to come into the, and, you know, take some snaps? Well, that is no longer a question.
Yep.
Obviously he went out this week with a torn meniscus. Turns out he's going to miss the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big, big bummer for them.
Right.
And then on top of that, they had their number two receiver, Jordan Addison, get carted off, this week in a joint practice, for a leg injury. Now I've tried to follow up on that and see what the official diagnosis is. I have yet to see one. All I hear is that it appears to be not as bad as it obviously looked with him getting carted off.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that's good news, but you never know what that's going to mean for timeline and if it's going to be a nagging sort of thing.
Right.
Addison also has some off the field stuff as well that he could potentially end up getting suspended for at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big blow for Minnesota.
I feel like, you know, Minnesota, this is where their head coach Kevin O'Connell is really gonna have to do some coaching and get some guys hyped up, because I feel like there's that very easily could have been a week where just all the air just kind of falls out of that facility and everybody is really disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota was a surprising team last year. I mean, they had Josh Dobbs running things along with some other quarterbacks there. Kevin O'Connell is no slouch as a head coach. I feel like he's a really good coach. I think regardless of what happens this year, they shouldn't fire him. He shouldn't be in the hot seat or anything like that. It's definitely a rugged start for Minnesota right now. Its season hasn't even started yet. So, and it puts Minnesota in such a predicament with JJ McCarthy, because next year when preseason starts, you're going to want him to get that reps, but who are you going to look at for in terms of quarterback situation next year? So that JJ McCarthy thing is unfortunate. It's the timing of it all is just terrible. You wish you could have at least gotten another preseason game in him.
Yeah.
Just to get some more reps in there. But as of right now, yeah, you got Sam Darnold going in as your starting quarterback. You got Aaron Jones. Obviously it's not going to be a backfield that's going to light the world on fire, but I feel like if they lean heavily on the run with Aaron Jones, get their money worth out of that, they can at least potentially steal some games here and there. They still have Brian Flores as a defensive coordinator. I always love Brian Flores. So it's definitely going to be one of those things where you're going to rely on your defense to kind of keep you in games and time management with Aaron Jones. But to me, Minnesota's off to a rough start to what might be a rough year.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't talk about TJ Hockenson. You know, he's a phenomenal tight end, arguably top three or four tight end in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be, at least as far as I've read, not going to be ready week one, still recovering from the torn ACL, right? Is that what it was? Torn ACL?
I believe so.
Something lower body.
Yeah.
So he missed, you know, the end of the season last year, still recovering. So, really, I mean, depending on what happens with Jordan Addison, it's really going to be Justin Jefferson's load to carry.
Yeah, and he's got no one else. Sport,
I mean, so, and you know, I'm very excited for Sam Darnold. Obviously, former Jet, it didn't work out, but I really think that he has a lot of talent. He is one of the many quarterbacks that the Jets did a disservice to by the people they put around him.
Mm-hmm.
That's neither here nor there. I think he's got some talent. I'm hoping that this is maybe kind of like a, you know, second chance. You've seen a lot of people like Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, and their fourth teams, they've kind of had like this resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
This is Sam Darnold's fourth team, so everybody's kind of drawing that conclusion. I just don't know if he has the pieces around him.
Right.
Obviously, Justin Jefferson is very good. Aaron Jones is very good. Jordan Addison can be. He showed last year he can be very good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got potential.
Yeah, Minnesota has a great offensive line. They ranked like fourth last year in rushing yards. So their offensive line will give Sam Darnold the time that he needs to find his receivers. The problem is, do you have anyone outside of Justin Jefferson that's going to give you the production that you need? Obviously, right now, Justin Jefferson, he's your only real skill position of fear. If you're a defense, you're just going to double team him all day and live in, or die with whoever else comes around and shows out that game. But to me, it's definitely going to be tough for Sam Darnold to find a repertoire with someone else, because I honestly don't even know who else is on the depth chart behind Addison.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yep. All right. So that is the NFC North. You want to do our standings now, or you want to do them at the end?
No, we can do them for the NFC North now.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I got the Lions winning the division. Back-to-back years winning the division for, I think, for like the first time ever.
Yeah.
Two, Packers. Then three, I got Minnesota, but this can go either Chicago or Minnesota. They can flip-flop. I have no idea. I just don't know what Chicago we're going to get. I wouldn't be surprised if they have like another 7-10 record, but they'd be a surprisingly good 7-10, I feel like.
Yeah, I have the Bears ahead of the Vikings.
Okay.
And then the other two are the same.
Yeah.
I just, I think that Minnesota is going to have a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Bears have a lot of weapons on offense, and Caleb, I feel like I might rue the day that I say this, but I feel like I have more faith in Caleb Williams than I do in Sam Darnold right now.
Uh-huh.
Having said, I hope he has a good year. I'm just not hopeful for it.
Yeah. I guess I'll switch that up. I have more confidence in the skill position and the players around Caleb Williams than I do than Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it can go either way for me.
All right. So AFC North. So a lot of people are saying this year that the NFC North is what's going to be arguably the best division in football.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a little crazy for my money. I think it's still the AFC North. Last year, I think they were the best division.
Yeah.
They had three of their four teams make the playoffs. And
Cincinnati had like a winning record still.
Right. fun fact about the AFC North. So Hard Knocks does an in-season episode every year, an in-season show.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, it was Miami. This year, they're doing something different. They're going to be covering the entire AFC North. So all four teams.
Interesting.
So I'm really looking forward to that. I think that'll be really, really entertaining. But
all right,
kicking it off with the Bengals, who we just talked about. 9-8 last year. Obviously, about halfway through the season, they lost Joe Burrow to a wrist injury, a ligament in his wrist, which mm-hmm. is not a very common injury for a quarterback at all.
Right.
So that's kind of a question mark around Joe Burrow. How mm-hmm. is he going to recover from that? So far, he's having a healthy preseason. If you remember the last two or three years, something has happened to him every single preseason.
He had a calf last year.
Year before that, he had to have an emergency appendectomy in the middle of the preseason, and so it wasn't totally healthy.
Right.
So as of right now, he's healthy going into week one.
Mm-hmm.
The big story around this team right now is Ja'Marr Chase and the holdout. It was a hold in. But now all of a sudden he started missing practices and people are now calling it a holdout. I think it's baffling that the Bengals are not paying him yet. But that could be very quickly become an issue and a storyline for Cincinnati. We talked about it last week with Brandon Ayuk, how, there comes a point where you have to start getting on the field. Otherwise, you're going to be risking injury while you're ramping up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Ja'Marr Chase is very quickly approaching that.
Right, and especially for a wide receiver, because you're sprinting dead go on the beginning of every play, so hammies become a concern. Anything lower leg becomes a concern. So yeah, I feel so bad for Cincinnati, because after they made that Super Bowl run, I feel like everything just kind of like dislodged and kind of imploded upon itself. After that, you got Joe Burrow's health. But now after years go by, Ja'Marr Chase's time to get an extension and get paid is here, according to him. So
according to him,
yeah. There's always the contract.
Not according to the Bengals.
Exactly. So it's definitely one of those things where you wish Cincinnati well, but at the same time, you look at the reality of the situation, and it's going to definitely rely on Joe Burrow's health and see, I guess, Ja'Marr Chase's health. If he misses reps and doesn't come back 100% ramped up for NFL speed. Obviously, if Ja'Marr Chase is present, their strength is in their passing games. They have T. Higgins still there. Tyler Boyd took off, but yeah. Ja'Marr Chase is still there. They signed Zach Moss from Indianapolis to be their running back. I think that's a sneaky good signing. He had a career year last year in Indy. Whether he can stay healthy or not, that's a whole different scenario. But and then they brought in Mike Gesicki to fill in their tight end spot. But I mean, they haven't really had a I guess true tight end there, consistent tight end there since I can't even remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely going to be up to their offensive line, see if they can protect Joe Burrow to the point where he's not injuring his wrist and putting that risk in danger. They use their first round pick on a tackle, so that's definitely positive. But yeah, I'm not sure where Cincinnati is going to go from here.
Yeah, it's funny. So fun fact, this guy that you just talked about, the tackle from Alabama,
mm-hmm.
Amarius Mims, he is 6'8". 345 pounds.
That's a big man.
So he's a massive human being. And Trent Brown, who they signed this year mm-hmm. to be the tackle on the other side, he's like 6'8", 310 or 320. And it's funny, somebody brought that up on the radio this week about how, why is it that the Bengals notoriously, the last 3 or 4 years, their tackles are absolutely massive, where you think about a Tyron Smith, for example, who's this lean, stocky, mammoth human, but he's only like, you know, 6'7", 6'8", 280.
Mm.
And it's funny. I think it was Chris Canty, who obviously used to play football and knows a thing or two. He said it's because the Bengals are telling you that they value pass protection way more than they value run blocking.
Right.
They want those big mammoth humans to sit there and not let anybody get to their quarterback. And they're not as concerned about them getting out in the open field and laying a block for the running back because they know they're going to be passing the ball.
Right.
Which I thought was really interesting and kind of a unique perspective to have. But,
yeah, I've never seen it that way, to be honest.
I know. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, a little tidbit. But yep. One thing I think is, me personally, I think is underrated that I think they're going to miss is Joe Mixon.
Mm.
They let him, I think they actually traded him to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I know they went out and got Nyheim Hines. They got, you know, Zach Moss. I just wonder if that's going to be something that they regret, just because Mixon has been so consistent. You know, he puts up numbers every single year. I'm curious to see if that backfires, if they maybe undervalued him a little more than they should have.
Yeah, I mean, from a fantasy perspective, I can always think about Joe Mixon. He's always, I guess, a constant RB2.
Right.
So I mean, it's not flashy or showy or anything like that. Like a Derrick Henry, he's not going to blow you away, but he'll have his moments where he can carry an offense.
Yep.
He
had a game with like 4 touchdowns last year, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got Zach Moss, who is I guess he's always been a change of pace back or thunder and lightning type of running back, but it's definitely going to be a little different in the backfield there in Cincinnati.
So. Yep.
But hopefully it's enough to protect Joe Burrow from himself, because he's a competitor, and I'm not sure you can have Joe Burrow step back and throw 50 times a game, especially with that wrist injury that we don't know what's going to happen.
Right, right. one minor story, hopefully it's a minor storyline, at least for them, new offensive coordinator.
Mm.
Brian Callahan, previous OC, he's a head coach for
Brian Callahan,
Tennessee, I believe now. Or no, I don't know. He went somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan Pitcher is the new offensive coordinator. And
right.
I just feel like coordinators, anytime you have to change a coordinator, it's a bigger deal than people make it out to be.
No, yeah.
Because it's a whole new system, a whole new set of plays. Obviously, ideally, you're finding somebody whose system is at least similar to the prior, if you had success.
Right. Where's right? your quarterback's advantage?
Right. But it's a whole new system that they have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully Burrow, you know, he has to be comfortable with it, has to know all the ins and outs. So I think that's a storyline that I feel like a lot of people don't normally talk about, but I think they should. Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, always on my notes, I always write who the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator is. That's that to me is the foundation of what your defense is going to look like. Obviously, whenever I mentioned Brian Flores, like with Minnesota, my eyes gleam at Brian Flores and Mike Schwartz over in Cleveland. Jim Schwartz, pardon me. But yeah, it's you have coordinators there that are gonna elevate your offense or defense, wherever coordinator they are, into the next level, and that can take you into Super Bowl level, upper echelon NFL team status.
Yep.
So yep.
All right, Cleveland Browns, 11-6 last year. They lost to Houston in the wild card.
Yeah, I mean, I think they had Joe Flacco starting that yep, game.
They did.
And they got blown out. I mean, Joe Flacco.
Yeah, they got blown out.
Yeah, Joe Flacco had some magic, but then it kind of ran out. But yeah, Deshaun Watson, again, the storyline going into the season for Cleveland again is what Deshaun Watson are going to get. Are you going to finally get the one you paid for? are you gonna get the Deshaun Watson you've had the first 2 years? So a little off field issues, sprinkled with some injuries, sprinkled with this and that. Yeah, it all revolves around Deshaun Watson and seeing where he. Obviously, their defense is going to take you. It's going to keep you in the playoff race. Absolutely. I think they had like the number one ranked defense all last year. Like you said, Jim Schwartz, magical man there on defense.
Amazing.
Yep. So they revamped their wide receiver corps a little bit. They got Jerry Jeudy.
That was a big Denver. I feel like that was a sneaky under the radar trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, ever since Jerry Jeudy got drafted by Denver, I feel like he was kind of like thrust into that wide receiver one role when he wasn't even, I guess, mentally ready. But now he doesn't even have to worry about it because he's got Amari Cooper on the other side taking a lot of that stress away from you. So to me, I think he's in a good position to kind of succeed there in Cleveland.
Agreed.
They got Jerome Ford coming back there in the running back position. We'll see how long Nick Chubb takes to come back. Hopefully he comes back healthy. Obviously, that was a terrible, gruesome injury mm-hmm. that he sustained last year. So we'll see where that goes.
I've heard zero timetable on him.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything, but all I've heard is he should come back sometime this year. When that is, I have no idea.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what sort of running back carousel they have there in Cleveland, but it should be enough to sustain competitiveness. Absolutely, especially if they get Deshaun Watson how he should be. I mean, they signed I think Jameis Winston to be the backup there. Obviously, that's another crapshoot. You don't know what Jameis Winston's going to come out. We'll always refer to the 30 touchdown, 30 interception season that he had. So that's the give and take that you have when you sign Winston. So obviously, as a Saints fan, I know a little bit about Winston, about eating W's and whatnot. So it's going to be a roller coaster if he ever becomes the starter over Watson for injury or whatever else, but. To me, if Watson can come out right, Cleveland is the team to beat in this division.
I agree. I think that's the problem is that's such a big if.
Yeah.
That's not like, oh, yeah, that'll probably happen. Mm-hmm. I genuinely have no idea.
Right.
As we were talking about his contract earlier and all the guaranteed money, I was like, holy crap, this is year three of his 5-year massive contract, and he has done jack diddly squat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy to me that this is the third year already. Like, that's more than halfway through the contract he's done nothing to earn this money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he has a lot to prove this year. I can't help but be crazy excited about the idea of him and Amari Cooper. I love Amari Cooper.
Right.
He single-handedly carried my fantasy team last year. So I think that they have a chance to be a really, really good combination. And again, you talk about Jerry Jeudy. The three of them, I think, could be really, really good. You add in David Njoku, mm-hmm. always seems to, go under the radar, but is a really good pass catching, fast, like physical freak of a tight end.
Right.
Yep. And I mean, there's nothing more to say about their defense. It's so dang good.
Mm-hmm.
You called that last year.
Hey.
Their offensive coordinator, again, not to keep harping on this, but a big storyline for me is that they brought in Ken Dorsey to be their new offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about Dorsey, if you remember how the Bills were prior to them firing him, is that he basically like refused to run the ball.
Right.
So I think that kind of tells you what Cleveland is going to be. They are going to pass. And I think their run game might take a big hit because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So even when Nick Chubb comes back, I'm curious to see, obviously if he's healthy and if he's the old Nick Chubb,
mm-hmm.
what Dorsey's style of play calling is going to do to his production.
Right. I mean, it might even be, I guess, a blessing in disguise because you're kind of protecting Nick Chubb from kind of gradually introducing him back into the game from that horrific injury. And I guess it's, you're going to test Watson right off the bat if that's the case. So you're going to see what Watson you're going to get for the season right off the bat week one, if they're going to pass as much as they did in Buffalo with Josh Allen. So to me, Ken Dorsey is an intriguing offensive coordinator. But whether he fits the style that Cleveland is going to start dishing out, I feel like it's either going to implode really fast or it's going to take the league by storm and put Deshaun Watson into the category of like, oh, this is his redemption year and whatnot. So it's definitely going to be intriguing to follow that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I'm curious because nobody knew, or I guess we knew, but Buffalo didn't turn out to have a dominant run game until after Ken Dorsey left.
Right.
Then, like, all of a sudden, Allen was a little bit more involved in the run game. James Cook became a machine, and that wasn't happening until Joe Brady came in and kind of put more of an emphasis on running the ball. So I'm curious to see if Cleveland's going to be balanced at all this year, or if, you know, if Deshaun Watson's going to be throwing the ball 50 times a game.
Yeah, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing right now.
Yeah, who knows? I don't even know. Right, you just don't know what
like
you're
going to
get. Like,
if you got the Houston Watson, you'd be like, perfect.
Yeah, I want to throw him. Yep. Yeah, sign me up.
But, oh, well, we'll see. Yep.
All right, jumping over to the Baltimore Ravens. 13-4 last year. Lost, obviously, in the AFC Championship game at home to the Kansas City Chiefs. Big signing is Derrick Henry at running back. I think that's going to be massive for Baltimore. I really do. I think that, you know, obviously you can't keep Lamar Jackson from running 100% of the time. He's going to have those natural times where he needs to scramble.
Right.
But I think with Derrick Henry, obviously he's getting up there in age, but he's just a massive human being. Like, you can give the ball to him 25, 30 times a game and he's going to be okay. He's a bruiser. So they brought in him to replace J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. So I'm excited about what he potentially could bring to that team.
Right. Yeah. Derrick Henry obviously just had nothing but success over there in Tennessee. So I think he will carry a lot of that success over to Baltimore and Todd Monken's offense. Obviously, last year, Lamar Jackson won MVP under that offense, under Todd Monken's first year there. So Lamar Jackson definitely took the greatest of steps as a passer. The problem is now is who do you have throwing the ball? Like two.
Right.
All you have is Zay Flowers right now. You kind of had Odell Beckham at the end of the year last year, but right now it's just Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman. And Rashad Bateman, I feel like he's always been like a wide receiver three, kind of take the top off a defense. So it's going to be intriguing to see how they develop that offense now that they probably are not going to rely on on passing the ball too much. And that's probably why they signed Derrick Henry, to be honest with you. They needed that ground and pound. So Lamar Jackson can kind of take advantage of scrambling a little bit more, tire out that defense with Henry, and then just blow right by him with Lamar Jackson. It's going to be an intriguing strategy, but I mean, this is year 17 of John Harbaugh's stint there in Baltimore. So I feel like he has a strategy in mind and we're just going to be in there for the ride.
Yeah, I feel like with the pass catching situation, like you have to remember that Mark Andrews was injured the majority of last season. He's definitely true. I mean, he's Lamar Jackson's number one target.
Right.
So if he's healthy, I think that's a game changer. I think that him and Zay Flowers and Bateman, who you talked about, it's an okay combination, right? It's serviceable.
Right.
Zay Flowers is more than serviceable, especially when you consider that Mark Andrews is really his number one target. so I think that could really be beneficial. I'm curious, you know, we talked about the run game and how dominant they were. They did lose some pieces. They lost Morgan Moses. They lost Kevin Zeitler. Those are two really good, known, name-worthy offensive linemen.
Right.
So we'll see what happens there. And then on the defensive end, they lost guys like Jadeveon Clowney, Patrick Queen, Ronald Darby, Rock Ya-Sin. Like, those are all, like, those four names, those are stud defensive pieces.
Yeah.
Baltimore's defense obviously wasn't up to Cleveland's standings, but they were a really, really good defense as well. So I'm curious to see what that does to them.
Yeah, the biggest change is definitely going to be the defense and how that's going to respond. They have a new defensive coordinator in Zach Moore.
That's right. They lost their defense coordinator. Yeah, he went to the head coach now in Seattle, right? McDonald.
Yep. So that's definitely going to be the biggest, I guess, adjustment period that you're going to see. Obviously, Mark Andrews is back, so that's the biggest pick me up. Probably better than any offseason addition that they had, and even better than Derrick Henry, to be honest with you. A healthy Mark Andrews evolves that offense.
Yep.
It kind of emulates Kansas City's 100%. Offense. I'm there with Kelsey, and then Rashee Rice is now Zay Flowers. Quick, fast, good route runner. So we'll definitely see how this offense develops throughout the year under year two of Todd Monken, but that defense is going to be the number one thing I would look for if I'm a Raven fan right now.
Yep. I agree. All right. Last but not least, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So 10-7, probably the worst 10-7 team ever last year. They were able to make the wild card because Mike Tomlin is amazing.
Right.
And obviously got crushed by the Bills in the wild card game. So big thing for them, obviously, is figuring out who's going to be their starting quarterback. They brought in both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
Right.
I mean, I'll throw it out there. We're sitting here watching the Steelers and Bills playoff game right now.
Preseason.
Did I say playoff?
You said playoff.
Preseason game. I was like,
wait.
Preseason game right now as it's happening. So Russell Wilson started. He played three or four drives. Justin Fields is still in the middle of the third quarter. For my money, I know he's playing against, you know, maybe not starters, different competition, blah, blah, blah. Justin Fields just looks so much better.
Right.
Personally, he looks faster. His arm, like he threw an out route in the 2-minute drill in the second quarter that was just on a dime, got right past the defender. I mean, he scrambled for like a 20-yard run. Russell Wilson just looks, he just kind of looks stiff. He looks stiff and slow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, different competition. Fields is probably playing against number two or number threes at this point.
Right.
But for my money, I feel like I would go with Fields. I think that Tomlin has said that Wilson is leading right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, well, you got to question how much it is like mental and confidence for Russell Wilson right now. I feel like
it's got to be humbling.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like in Seattle, he could just throw up a ball and someone on his team was going to catch it, Lockett or whoever else. But right now, it's just he's questioning everything he's doing right now. Justin Fields, obviously, he's on the younger end, the younger side of the spectrum. So he's kind of taking the hits as they go, even if it's a little bit of a mistake or here or there. It's a learning process for him. Russell Wilson feels like he should have already learned this. But I mean, this is more of a testament of what I thought Justin Fields was last year, of like he should be a starter somewhere in the NFL. He kind of, I wouldn't say single-handedly, but he was a big part of why Chicago was like ranked second in rushing yards last year. I mean, his legs are for real. He's going to run past a lot of these defensive players. So for me, it's going to be a tell of two tapes, you know, depending on who takes the quarterback position here in Pittsburgh. I feel like if they give it to Russell Wilson to start off, I think we're going to see Justin Fields like even before the midway point of the season. And if they go with Justin Fields, I feel like he's going to be the starter throughout the entire year.
I agree.
So for me, obviously we are surprised with John Harbaugh 17th year. This is Mike Tomlin's 18th, and he's never had a losing season. So it's remarkable the sort of run that Mike Tomlin is on. But it's going to be a similar story that they had last year, where their defense is going to be need to step up and keep them in games. Their pass rush, obviously, led by T.J. Watt. That's going to be the biggest positive that, you know, Pittsburgh is going to offer. They revamped the entire offensive line. So that's going to be a story to watch throughout the year. Make sure Justin Fields and Russell Wilson have the protection they need, or at least the lanes they need to scramble. But yeah, Pittsburgh is a big wild card for me, just like Chicago. I don't know what you're going to get, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. And a big story with them is the potential. So, you know, it's come out that they have a trade agreement in place for Brandon Ayuk from the 49ers.
Really?
So it's basically, as of right now, they have an agreement in place with Ayuk, with the Niners, And the Niners are, the only reason they're holding off is because they think there's a chance that they can get Ayuk to agree to their contract and obviously stay.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like he's either going to re-sign with the Niners or he's going to get traded to the Steelers.
Interesting. The Steelers could use another wide receiver.
It would be right phenomenal. It'd be a great, it'd be a great addition for them. And honestly, it's, I feel like it's a very un-Steelers move.
Yeah.
Like normally they draft guys, they develop guys, like all, they're all homegrown.
Right.
To trade for a stud and give them a big contract like that,
right,
I feel like is not typical Pittsburgh.
Right.
But I think it would be huge for them.
Yeah. I mean, George Pickens, honestly, I think he's very underrated.
Agreed.
I feel like he's a true number one. He hasn't just been thrust into that role. I feel like he's kind of earned it. Earn that spot. So to me, to have Brandon Ayuk right on the opposite side of George Pickens, now you're talking. Now you're talking about a passing game.
Yeah, agreed.
So I mean, you got Pat Freiermuth there at a tight end. So he's kind of under the radar.
Yep.
Big red zone target.
Say that.
Sneak peek. But yeah, it's, that move would be pretty huge, and I think that would catapult them into a little bit more serious territory, and that would just 100%. Make this division a little bit more complicated, to be honest with you.
I agree.
But
so I'm excited to see if that shakes out for them,
right?
And what that would look like. I mean we're sitting here talking, and Fields is just, he's just scrambling, he's making runs, he's making throws, he just looks so athletic.
Yeah, and comfortable.
So lastly, Arthur Smith, new offensive coordinator, came over, obviously got fired from Atlanta. Has had big success as an offensive coordinator in the past with I almost said Nashville, with Tennessee, with the Titans.
Right.
So we'll see how that offense develops over the year and grows and looks. But
right.
This division, you know, obviously we're going to jump into our divisional picks.
Mm-hmm.
This is a complete crapshoot to me.
Yeah.
Like, you could give me any order of all four of these four teams, and I would be like, okay.
Yeah, I buy it.
I could see it.
Yep.
I feel like this division in particular is either going to make us look great with our picks, depending on what they are, or really, really stupid.
Ouch.
So I don't know. I'll let you go first.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks a lot for that one. I think last year I picked Cleveland to win this division.
Yeah.
I'm going 2-for-2 on this. Picking Cleveland to win again. Obviously, like I said, it's going to depend a lot on what Deshaun Watson you get, but he's got to be good one season, at least out of the five. You're playing odds at this point. And then number two, I got Baltimore. I feel like there's going to be some regression there, especially on that defensive side of the ball. How much, though, I don't know. But yeah, I think they're going to come in at number two. Number three, I got Cincy. Joe Burrow's health is a big wild card there. And then four, Pittsburgh. But as you said, you could line them up 4-1 on my ranking, and I'd be like, okay, that sounds fine by me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't have a problem with that. Like, I'm not going to give you crap for it at all. It's not what I have, but
right.
Like, so I picked the Ravens last year. I'm sticking with them.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Browns at two.
Okay.
And then I have the Steelers. And then I have Cincy in last place,
yeah.
Which I think is like, if like I keep hearing Chris Canty in my head from ESPN radio. And he, again, Cincinnati is a Super Bowl pick for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he says that Cincinnati should very easily be in the Super Bowl or in the AFC Championship against Kansas City. I just don't see it with them this year.
Yeah.
I think there are too many question marks. I think that Ja'Marr Chase, what's going on with him? You know, Burrow's health, which you talked about. Like, I just think that, I don't know. I just don't have confidence in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that this division is so dang good.
Yeah.
That it's finally going to catch up to them.
Yeah. I think Cincinnati is also like on a timer. Because you pay Joe Burrow, if you're going to pay Ja'Marr Chase, that's going to be a big chunk of your salary cap. So,
well, not only that, but if you pay Ja'Marr Chase, you're letting T. Higgins walk. Yep. For sure.
Absolutely. You can't re-sign T. Higgins at all.
Yep.
So they're on a timer. So they're probably even in a worse timer than what Buffalo was last year and what 49ers are this year, to be honest with you. So it's make or break this year for Cincinnati. But I wouldn't be surprised if any of these teams finish wherever on this division.
Okay, so before we go any further,
okay,
I'm not gonna make a change to what I said last week, because I'm not gonna do that.
Okay,
but I do just have to like make an addendum.
Or like an asterisk
or like something to look out for. Again, I don't want to read into preseason. I don't want to be that guy that says, holy crap, like they're going to be good or they're going to be really bad because of what we see in preseason.
Okay.
Okay. However,
wow. Okay.
I really liked what I saw from Bo Nix in Denver.
In Denver?
In his first preseason game. I know I trashed Denver and said that they were going to be really bad.
Right.
I'm now really, really wondering if I was wrong.
Right.
I really think that he is going to be a beast.
Bo Nix.
Just in what I saw. I mean, they already went from him being third on the depth chart to announcing that he's starting tomorrow night. Again, it's just preseason, so right. Whatever. But just the way that Sean Payton was using him, that he had designed quarterback runs. He made phenomenal. They scored on like three or four straight drives of his. Like I was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to change my standings. I have him finishing in third. It is what it is.
Right.
But I think that Denver, he alone could make Denver surprise some people.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to trust anyone's opinion about a quarterback, it should be Sean Payton's.
Agreed. And I said, you know, obviously on the episode that no one's ever going to hear, but on the draft episode, I said, I am so excited about Bo Nix because of the way that Sean Payton talks about him.
Yep. We both talked about it. The last time he had a superlatives like he did for Bo Nix, it was Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
So it's, you're definitely going to see Bo Nix in a different light when he takes the field, because Sean Payton has shown this light on that young kid.
Yep.
But for me, like I trust Sean Payton's opinion, and I think Bo Nix is going to be great. I just don't know if that team around him is going to be up to the level that Bo Nix should be at right now.
Yeah.
I think Bo Nix is definitely your franchise quarterback right now for Denver. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. I just needed to throw that out there because I saw that the day, because they played on Sunday and we recorded on Saturday. So I was like, oh, I wish that had been like a day earlier, because I would have like totally changed it. But it's too late now. So, All right, let's go ahead and do our fantasy tidbits here. Mm-hmm. I'll let you go first for the NFC.
NFC?
Yep.
Okay. Must have. I got St. Brown.
Same.
Same. How could you? Oh, yep.
All right, fine. I got Justin Jefferson.
This is gonna
change it.
Okay,
just for purposes of this episode, so that we don't have duplicates.
Well, this is gonna surprise you now. I got stay away Justin Jefferson.
I can see that. I can see that very easily.
Because you know, as we mentioned before, obviously you have Sam Darnold there. I'm not sure how well he's gonna progress as a quarterback in general. I mean, how far can you progress as a quarterback at this point in your career? But also, if you have no support. I mean, Jordan Addison's down for who knows how long, and I just don't. If you're going to get double teamed all day, you know, all of a sudden you're not going to get the ball passed to you, and it's going to be a frustrating year, I feel like, for Justin Jefferson. So even though he just got paid, it's I feel like in terms of getting the ball, I just don't trust it. That's why I'm staying away from Justin Jefferson. But St. Brown must have. He's the number one wide receiver there for a good reason.
Yeah, in
a potent offense that spreads the ball very well. But St. Brown is far and away your number one option there. And then sleeper, I got Luke Musgrave there in Green Bay. I feel like that offense is going to be pretty consistent. Obviously, you have that three wide receiver tandem there over there and Watkins, Dobbs, and Reed, but I feel like Luke Musgrave is going to steal some touches there in the red zone. Absolutely. I feel like he's going to be a red zone beast this year.
Okay. So very, very similar thought process again.
Okay.
So I have St. Brown, obviously, as my must have. Mm-hmm. My stay away, I actually wrote Jordan Addison.
Okay.
Just because of the potential injury and who knows the off-field stuff, he could end up getting suspended.
Right.
So that's not somebody you want to mess around with on your fantasy team if he's going to be out 2-3-4 games, mm-hmm. Whatever that looks like. And then my sleeper, I actually wrote one of those three wide receivers. I wrote Jaden Reed.
Okay.
He's like a small, quick little guy. He very quickly, like middle to later half of the year last year, was the one that was getting all the touchdowns and all the targets from Jordan Love.
Right.
Not only that, but he's the one that they're designing all these gadget run plays for as well. So you could be potentially getting fancy points that way as well.
Could be like a Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, exactly. He's obviously, he doesn't have the build of a Deebo Samuel. He's mm-hmm. a lot smaller.
Right.
But he showed that they have chemistry big time.
Right.
So I'm excited about him.
Yep.
All right. I will go first with the AFC North. So I wrote Amari Cooper.
Okay.
He's my must have. I just think that, you know, he showed last year specifically with no matter who's at quarterback, he is just so dang consistent. and he's going to put up numbers.
Right.
So I think he's a really safe, you know, wide receiver one, wide receiver two, easily.
Mm-hmm.
This might be stating the obvious. I wrote Nick Chubb for my stay away, not only because of the injury, but specifically what I mentioned with Ken Dorsey and how that might hinder the run game.
Okay.
I just think whenever he does come back, I'm not confident that he's going to get the touches that he used to,
mm-hmm.
to where, you know, prior to his injury, Cleveland ran, no pun intended, through Nick Chubb.
Yeah, right.
And you know, I just don't think that that's going to happen anymore, even when he comes back,
right?
Because of Ken Dorsey. So I wrote stay away from him. And then my sleeper is Pat Freiermuth, the tight end from the Steelers. Regardless of who starts, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, they've both shown that they really favor their tight end.
Yeah.
And he's a great tight end.
Yeah, Cole Kmet yep. over in Chicago had a good year last year with Justin Fields. So, yeah, that's a good pick. For me, must have, I got Derrick Henry. I feel like he's with limited receiver options there and with just Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews there in Baltimore. I feel like that offense is definitely going to lean a lot on Derrick Henry, even though he's getting up there a little bit in age. But Derrick Henry is still my must have there. Stay away. I got Joe Burrow. I just don't know.
It's a good one.
I just don't know if that risk is going to hold up.
That's a good one.
Yep. I just don't know.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. Like you said, this is not an injury that's common in the NFL. So I don't know how it's going to affect them in his throwing motions. Jamar Chase, if there's any potential hiccups there, that'll lead somewhere. But as for my sleeper, I got Zach Moss. So, so if whatever Joe Burrow loses, Zach Moss gains, I feel like. So I feel like it'd be smarter for Cincinnati to concentrate on being run heavy. And if that's Zach Moss's way to be, then I feel like he has a lot to offer, especially coming out of Indy career year. He's never really been the feature back, but this is one opportunity that he's going to get to really show what he's got. Yep.
Awesome. I like it.
Yep.
All right. Well, that wraps up the NFC and AFC North. Next week we will jump over to your favorite division,
hey,
the NFC and AFC South. I'm just off the top of my head, I am very excited to dive into both of those divisions. A lot to talk about with Houston, a lot to talk about with Atlanta. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that there's a lot of exciting things happening in both of those divisions.
No, absolutely.
And can't wait to break it down. So, tune in for that next week. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. As always, any suggestions, any top stories like that happened throughout the week that you guys want us to talk about, please let us know. I'll be honest, I didn't do top stories this week specifically because I felt like the top story we're going to talk about anyways with JJ McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
But next week we'll jump into top stories and see if anything happened this week, if anybody's, you know, gets injured or gets named a starter or whatever.
Right. With preseason coming to an end.
Yeah.
Obviously cuts, QB battles, battles, position battles, they'll get settled. So yeah. Top stories will definitely be a little bit more prominent.
The one thing I guess we could have talked about, and we'll talk about it at length when we get there, is Buffalo losing Matt Milano to a torn, what was it, torn pec? Torn bicep? I think it was a bicep. Either way, he's out for a ton of time, so that's a huge loss, but we'll get into him when we jump into the AFC East in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But all right, until next week, we will see you guys later. Hope you have a good week, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to What Did They Know podcast. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media outlets to see future episode details. And don't forget to send in any questions or topics that you want to see the guys discuss in their weekly episodes to come.